You're tuned into the Portkey Cast, a Harry Potter podcast where we follow the books chapter by chapter. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Portkey Cast. This is actually our third take of this intro.
There's a good chance that they actually heard me say third take, oh shit, in the beginning during the music because I knocked something off this table.
Well, it's just the first take we're talking about editing and how I forgot to edit out me singing the intro music. And we just messed up the recording. It just happens sometimes.
So. I was too loud.
Yes, Alicia was too loud. But thank you for tuning in. I am Jonathan.
This is Alicia.
And let's jump right into it. And we are starting episode 8. This is the Potions Master. All right, so we just got through the sorting. We just got through Harry having a dream that he didn't remember what it was, but it was scary and it was...
It wasn't an awesome dream. It was terrifying.
Yeah, it was very scary. The green light, he had good food though the night before.
That's honestly probably why. I have this theory that if you eat cheese before bed, then you have weird dreams.
Okay. Alicia is a doctor, so
no, that's not a doctor. That is that is a true life experience. And one of my friends completely agrees with me and we've tested this theory. And I'm not saying it's completely right because I was like 21 when I tested that theory, and who knows what else I was, you know,
ingesting at the time. It could have been very much more than just cheese. I will say, if you take acid before bed, you probably will have some crazy dreams.
I've never done acid.
Neither have I. If you have, please let us know and tell us what your dreams are like. Harry's first experience at Hogwarts is a lot. It's very overwhelming, and you know, anyone at any given time, he must be like, I'm going to wake up from this dream. Like, I'm going to lay down and wake up and everything's going to be crazy. Like, everything's going to be back to normal. And this is just some crazy dream. I'm going to be back in the cupboard and Dudley's going to be beating me up. There's no way he's not thinking that. I mean, you got to think about everything he just had to deal with ghosts and talking paintings and a talking hat.
At the least, he thinks that he's on a giant acid trip.
Yeah,
that he had acid before bed.
Like,
it's
gotta be like, there's no way that at this point in this kid's life he's like, this is normal, that's cool.
Yeah, can you imagine having to process all that, like a completely different reality, especially at 11? Like,
that's so much.
That's a lot to take in.
But here we are the next day. He's going to class, his first set of classes, and he has to walk in the halls, and everyone just is obsessed with him. They double back to see him. They talk about his scar, everything like that. I mean,
this is his first real, like, moment of fame. Like, adults take fame differently than kids. Kids are a lot more open about it. So this is his first real, like, oh my God, I'm famous. Everyone is seriously staring at me.
And you gotta think about, for 11 years of his life,
he had no attention.
Yeah, nobody cared. So now he's like, oh shit, how do I handle this? More than anything, probably. I mean, I think it would all come down to what I'm famous for, right? Like, if I was famous for not dying, you know, that's kind of weird. If I'm famous for, you know, setting a world record, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, he didn't try to get the fame, which is the part where it's going to be weird for him, because if he was attempting to get fame, he would take it more into like a, oh cool, this worked. But he didn't try. It just, you know.
It just happened.
It just happened. And he's been famous for years and he had no idea.
Yeah, he didn't ask for this. This isn't something that he's been trying to accomplish for years or anything like that.
And it's not something that was like eased into him. Like, it didn't happen. And then he was on the news and he was like, oh, okay, this is going to happen now. Like, one day they're like, oh yeah, you've been famous for 11 years. Best of luck to you.
You just didn't know. So here you go. It'd be kind of like if you went overseas. So for example, like NSYNC, when they first started, they weren't huge in America, but they're huge in Germany. So imagine like you've never been to Germany, but you're huge in Germany. And this is before social media and the internet and all that stuff like they were. And, oh, I mean, the internet was around, but it was not at all what it is today.
No, it wasn't.
And then you go over there for the first time.
You do work to find stuff like that.
And people are trying to rip your fucking clothes off because you're Justin Timberlake or JC Chazes or, you know, Lance Bass or Chris Kirkpatrick or Joey Fatone. Yes, I know all their names.
I'm gonna say I would remember. I would have remembered Justin Timberlake and Lance Bass. All the rest of them, and like, wait, who are these people?
What? You remember? Yeah,
it would take me a long time to remember their names because I mean, the only one that I've heard of in a really long time is Justin Timberlake, and like, that's all that really matters in my mind, honestly. Justin Timberlake.
Lance is the only gay one, by the way, in case yes. anyone who thought they were all gay. It was only Lance. Lance is the only gay one. So he's famous, and but he's taking it in stride. He just kind of is like, well, whatever. One of the things that they made sure to say was there was 142 stairs. Jesus fucking Christ. I don't like to go. I have one set of stairs in my house, and it goes up and it goes from the studio upstairs. That's it. And I have to come downstairs in the morning and I work, and then I don't go back upstairs unless I have to go to the bathroom or, you know, I want to eat or who knows why I go upstairs. And I have stayed downstairs purposely because I didn't feel like going up the 18 steps that are maybe this probably not even 18 to go up to the second story of my house or the main story of my house. I don't like going upstairs. So I couldn't imagine there being 142 stairs in this place. That's like literally my worst nightmare.
Well, first of all, that's extremely lazy that you don't want to go up 18 stairs. But second of all, my thought, since I move around so much, my thought is actually that, can you imagine how terrible it would be if they weren't magic and they had to move stuff into this castle with all those stairs?
That would be the worst thing ever.
Like, you complain about moving stuff up one flight of steps.
I know. I can't imagine people who live in New York and they have those like 10-story walk-ups without any elevators.
I was going to say, if you're living in New York, you have money, but if you're living in a 10-story walk-up, you're not.
Exactly.
And you're moving that stuff upstairs by yourself because you probably can't afford to pay the movers in New York City.
And I mean, I can barely afford to pay the movers in Indiana. I can't imagine what it's going to cost.
Yeah,
to pay
movers are ridiculous. I thought about getting movers for my move from Florida back to Kentucky, and it was not reasonable.
That would be so much money to go from, to from Florida to Indiana. That would be so much money.
I just didn't want to do it.
So you had your friends do it. I will say I was conveniently out of town when you moved back.
Convenience.
Yes.
But honestly, I unloaded my stuff from an SUV into my friend's garage in 10 minutes and then rushed back to the rental place because I had like 30 minutes to get it back before I had to pay for another day.
So definitely a lot of stairs. And then they had the doors that wouldn't open unless you were nice to it or tickled it. And then there were walls that were pretending to be doors. Like, that would suck. A wall is pretending to be a door. What are you doing, wall? You ain't got nothing better to do? I mean, I get it. You're a wall, but God, that would just... Oh, this is my door. Nope, it's a wall. Never mind.
I would be more weird about having to tickle the door to open. I'd be like, do I really got to tickle the door? It's weird. I'm not a...
Depends on what's on the other side. I mean, if it's the door to food, I'm all for it. So we also get introduced to Filch. And Filch is going to be legitimately the bane of these kids' existence. I think these kids have to deal with Filch throughout... In a negative way throughout the series more than Umbridge and Voldemort and Snape. Maybe not combined, but on an individual basis.
On an individual basis, yeah, because he's there every day for the entire time that they're there. And his main job is to pick out what they're doing wrong, basically. Is he really doing anything else? What is his actual job title?
He's a janitor.
He's a janitor?
Yeah.
Does it ever say he's a janitor? Because I feel like all he does is walk around and like, he's like the correctional officer of Hogwarts.
Basically. I mean, they don't need correctional officers.
That's what he makes himself seem like.
Well, it's because he's a squib and he has no power. All these kids have so much more power over him than everyone else. You got to think about it. If these kids wanted to, and when they're at school, they can use their magic unlimitedly, minus they can't, you know, use the illegal curses. Mm-hmm. So they can sit here and they could... You know, make him fly. I'm sure that the Weasley brothers have been terrorizing Filch his entire life.
I understand that he's bitter, but also he does make himself seem like he is there as the correctional officer of the building. Like him and Mrs. Norris. Mister. I've always been like weird about the whole Mrs. Norris.
Well, is she? She's a cat. Is she married? Mrs. Norris? And if she's married, who's she married to? Where's Mr. Norris? Is
Mr. Norris maybe has passed away.
Is Mrs. Norris Animagi?
Oh my God, that would be so weird. We need a story about that, JK. We need to know.
Because come on, like, you're saying...
She does get, like, really into the whole... She basically helps Filch with... It wouldn't... Honestly, now that you say it, it wouldn't be that big of a surprise because they talk about her like she is a human, like she mm-hmm. is constantly like following students around trying to see what they're doing wrong, and then she goes running
and
goes
and
like,
tells him.
Cats don't process things like that. Cats are assholes themselves.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, so the cat runs back and goes, I'm coming.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Come on.
He knows just by a look.
I get it. We're in a magical world and we're questioning things with rational thought. But
animals are still animals in magical world.
I'm saying she's an Animagi. And they never say it. Simple as that. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And it wouldn't be surprising just because the way that she acts, she kind of acts human like. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can tell my dog is in his own way a tattletale. Like, I can tell when he's trying to tell me that another dog is doing something wrong just because he wants to be like,
dog,
oh, yeah, I'm cool.
Your dog is that goody two-shoes.
Yeah, my dog is. My dog is great.
My two dogs. My two dogs are definitely... You got one that's just lazy and one that's bad, so...
My dog is a spoiled little jerk, and he wants me to know when other dogs are doing something right because he feels like he should be rewarded for that. My dog was a bad puppy, though, so he got it all out early.
Well, that's because he had to hang out with Snooki. Did he have to hang out with Snooki?
Not a lot.
Okay. I would say that's a bad dog right there.
Yeah. Well, you named your dog after a Jersey Shore character, so.
But here's my other thing. Why are all janitors just nasty? Like,
because
the janitors when I was in high school were nasty.
We're going to hurt some janitors' feeling who listen to this, but because they're bitter about life.
I mean, just, like, I get
usually,
it.
I mean, I guess there's some people in the world who may want to be janitors and truly enjoy the custodial arts. But most aren't there because they want to be, and they obviously, like, you're cleaning up after kids all day who are honestly just assholes.
I mean, I agree. Most of the
kids are assholes.
Especially nowadays. Kids are total jerks.
And, like, a lot of kids aren't, especially, like, do you think that Draco Malfoy has ever cleaned up after himself a day in his life?
No.
Exactly. Oh, he's cleaning up after kids like that and just kids in general.
So, they're talking about the classes that they're in, you know, and he says that the class that he is most, that he finds most boring is History of Magic. And maybe I'm a little Hermione in this sense, but I would love that class.
I would love History of Magic, but I believe it's the way that it's taught that they're saying is the reason it's...
Well, it's taught
by a
ghost.
He just drones on, and he makes it boring, because I love history too, but if someone's just literally... dragging on and on and on and just talking, I can't.
Well, if it tells you anything about how boring or how anything he is, he died in his sleep and then just woke up and got back to teaching.
Exactly. His life is very boring. He's a very dull person. He makes everything more boring. He's just like, eh.
Wonder where he died. If they say he died in front of the fire, like, did the fire kill him or did he...
I think he literally died in his sleep.
He bored himself to death.
Pretty much. Death. He was like, you know, I'm pretty bored. I'm just going to die and then wake up and
maybe
teach
being
class.
A ghost is better. Nope. Ghost sucks too. Whatever.
Nope. Still just going to go back to teaching class. All right.
So we already touched on Flitwick about how he's played by Warwick Davis and everything like that, or voiced by him and whatnot.
He's
so
still one of my favorite actors.
Yes. Amazing.
Yeah.
But he loves Harry. He squeaks his voice. And that Harry is scared of McGonagall. And, you know, I don't know if I'd be as scared of Snape, because when people are total assholes to me, I'm just like, whatever.
Oh my God,
you.
I'm the worst. If you're an asshole, then I'm just going to be an asshole straight back.
But McGonagall seems like someone to be scared of.
I had this talk today. There are people who hold themselves in different ways, and you can always tell. If someone holds themselves like they have a lot of authority, it kind of makes me nervous. If you're just an asshole, then I'm just going to be an asshole back. But if you just hold yourself in a very authoritative, like, you know, you just look like you always know what's going on, I'm you make me nervous, because I'm not used to that. I'm used to the one that's in control, because I'll be an asshole back to you if you're an asshole to me.
Excuse me for coughing. I agree with what you're saying. Like, if someone, like, walks in and they have that air of like authoritativeness, it's very it's very, intimidating.
Yeah. There's this guy at work who he just holds himself in that way, and he messed something up today. And I was so nervous to go tell him because I'm like, no, he looks like he knows what he's doing. I'm going to send it to someone else because I don't want to tell him that he messed up. Just like McGonagall. If she messed something up, I'd be like, yeah, man, you're good. Don't worry about it.
Well, so they start Transfiguration and they have to turn matches into needles, and nobody gets it except for our favorite person, Hermione. And see, at this point, I still don't like her.
I honestly didn't think at this point in the book that she would end up being their friend. And when I was reading this book to begin with, I was 11, so I also thought that she was super annoying. And now that I'm older and I am her, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I would want to be the first person in class. But when I was 11, I was like, oh, this girl's so uncool.
Yeah, agreed.
And now I'm the person that's like, I got to get everything first. I got to be the first one to know.
I mean, I'd probably be just like her now as well, too. Like, thinking about it, I'd probably be exactly like her. But
when I was a kid, I thought
she was the worst.
I thought she was annoying. And
yeah. So at this point, I don't like her.
At this point, now that I'm an adult, I do like her. But when I was a kid, no.
So then they go into, everyone seemed to be really excited for Defense Against the Dark Arts. And I think they're excited for it because they think they're going to fight. You know, are they going to learn to fight?
I was actually going to, like, bring that up. Why are they so excited about this class? Like, that, maybe it's just something that wouldn't interest me as much.
Well, especially at this point.
I wouldn't even know what to expect out of that class. It's been
11 years since the Dark Lord fell. There's probably not too much, you know, the auras are around, but there's probably not too much, you know, dark magic flowing around in them. So they probably don't know what it's like. To know, you know, that kind of like fear of dark magic, because they're probably not dealing with it. But I think it's just you should learn how to fight in Defense Against the Dark Arts.
I think that I just wouldn't know what to expect out of the class. When you said Defense Against the Dark Arts, I would literally expect like being living in a human world and going to Hogwarts. I would be like, Defense Against the Dark Arts, that sounds like a karate class. I don't want to do it.
But maybe people want to learn magic that's going to, like, yeah, you want to learn magic that's going to help you along your life, but also to be able to, you know, disarm other wizards or stuff like that. I think that most of the kids, because yeah, they said this is what everyone's was most excited for. So I'm thinking that maybe Harry, not himself, but everyone else was. So he was just kind of like, oh, everyone's into this. All right, cool. Maybe I'll be into it too.
Yeah, I just feel like I would not be the one that was excited for that. I'd be way more excited for Transfiguration, because honestly, if someone told me that I was going to any kind of defense against anything course, I'd be like, karate? Really?
Oh, goodness.
Sorry, that's just...
But here they made sure to talk about Quirrell's turban. And Quirrell says it was given to him by an African prince for thwarting some Zambies.
I have so much to say about this entire turban thing. Again, every week I'm going to bring up this turban.
Did he have it in the pub?
Not only did he have it in the pub. Well, right now my question is, why does it smell bad? They mentioned that it smells bad. Why does it smell bad? That's so weird.
Well, the Weasley brothers say that it smells, that it's probably stuffed with garlic to keep away the vampires.
But it's not stuffed with garlic. We know what it's stuffed with.
Are vampires after him? That's my question. Like, he goes to hunt vampires or whatever, and then he puts a bunch of garlic in his office and in his classroom. Are vampires after him?
I have so many questions, because first of all, you already know that his stories are a lie, because he brings up the whole zombie thing and he gets really like embarrassed when they ask him how he did it, because he completely like made that story up. So how do we even know that this has anything to do with vampires at all?
And what part of Africa? I want to know what part of Africa are turbans in. So that'll be northeast Africa or northern Africa, where like Egypt and Morocco, and you know where they're of Arabic or Zeke descent. You know, I mean, please forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think that's where the only part of Africa where they wear turbans. And so, are that where the zombies are? I just want to know so I don't go there. Like, do I need to stay away from like Egypt, or is the book just making a really broad generalization about that area of the world?
Or I just took it as he was completely making it up, and he just was trying to say something that sounded good, and that's why I don't believe the Africa zombie or the vampires, garlic. I don't know.
How do you thwart zombies though? Like what's the key? What's in this world to thwart in zombies? You just hit them with an Expelliarmus? Do you hit them with a Petrificus Totalis? You know,
they're already Petrificus Totalis for the most part. They just can walk.
You know, just hit them with a. You know, do you hit them with a Cyprasampra?
I'm really not big on zombie shows, so I don't know what kills zombies. I can tell you how to kill a vampire because I'm all about vampires, but zombies aren't my thing.
Well, he's keeping garlic in his room and stuff like that.
But yeah, I just want to know why it smells. Why does it smell?
So Ron gets...
You're still not telling me why it smells.
Well, I mean, I can tell you why it smells, but that we're not at that point in the book yet.
Do you think that smells, though? Oh, my God. We need to talk about this because we're going to literally spoil this entire thing.
Here's what we're going to talk about. We're not going to make any... We're going to broadly speak about what we're talking about.
Because I'm going to forget about this by the time we get to that point in the book.
But
I want to know why it smells.
Okay, we're going to do our best to not do any spoilers if any of you are reading this for the first time. So I think that, yes, because...
Of what's in there.
Is not... fully developed, and it's in a weird state of development.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I guess I see that, but like...
Later on in this exact book, though, they're dealing with the same thing in the forest that has to...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I believe that it's not in a state... It's still in a state of decomposition...
I guess that does make sense, but that would make me even more weary about wearing that thing on my head. Not that I wouldn't already be weary because of, you know, what it is, but anyway, we can move on from why it smells because it's really hard to talk about this without just, you know, blowing the entire book.
Yes. We're trying really hard, guys, to not.
But there are going to be things that come up that we lead to in other books, but I'm going to want to know the answers to the questions now, not like directly of the question, but just like why... Why would they be worried about that?
Like I've said in every single episode so far, we are going to do our best to not jump around. Sometimes we might have to. Hopefully we can stay within each individual book.
Trying.
So
I'm not going to blow the big points to anyone. No. I'm going to try my hardest to talk around them, but I just really want to
know. Because right now, what we know, we could ruin the whole series based on what we know.
Yeah.
But you don't know that if this is your first time reading it. So they go to breakfast. So they have all this stuff before breakfast. Oh, wait a minute. Let's backtrack. They get to stay up till midnight to look through telescopes at the constellations.
I can't even stay up till midnight.
I was about to say, at 11, 12 years old, being told for school I had to stay up till midnight, I would be ecstatic. I would be like, yo, this is amazing. The best school ever. Nowadays, if you're like, yo, we got to stay up till midnight to look at constellation, I'll be like, what? Oh, my God.
I would be so mad. If anyone tells me I have to stay up past 10, I'm like, no, man. Like, you don't understand. I have to get a full 8 hours of sleep or I'm probably going to hurt someone at work tomorrow.
Like, I don't sleep very much to begin with. Like, if I'm in work mode, I normally don't go to bed till 2 or 3.
I sleep like a pro.
But if you tell me I have to stay up, that's when I get, like, upset at you. I'm like, yo, don't tell me what to do. So as a kid, that would have been amazing. As an adult, this sounds terrible. I just wanted to touch on that really quick. So they go to breakfast. So they've had Herbology or Transfigurations or Defense Against the Dark Arts all before breakfast. That's a lot before breakfast.
Yeah, because I get to my desk at work and within 10 minutes, I'm eating a Pop-Tart. Literally.
I haven't had a Pop-Tart in like 6 months.
Well, I've been killing some Pop-Tarts. For the last month or so. S'mores and the ones that are like all chocolate, I'm good with.
What about the brown sugars?
Brown sugar is good too.
Okay.
No fruit flavored. That's disgusting.
Get out here with your fruit. Blue. the only one that's acceptable is frosted blueberry, but that's a last ditch effort. Like you don't have any other options.
Honestly, that's like if someone says, I want a Pop-Tart or I have a Pop-Tart, do you want it? And you haven't eaten in a little bit, then you're like, yeah, I guess. I don't do the fruit flavored any other way.
No. If I'm spending my money on it,
it's s'mores or nothing.
Yes. So good. So Ron gets, they talk about mail time. Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. Every time it comes, I want to yell, meow. I'm not going to yell into the microphone.
Thanks, Jonathan.
And it's brought by the owls, and it took Harry a few days to get used to it, but he does. But then Ron, so on this specific day, Ron orders porridge, and I don't know what porridge is, so I looked it up.
I feel like it's like, don't tell me yet because I want to guess. I feel like, and I have no idea, but this is going to be my guess. I've always thought it was something like grits.
Okay, yeah, it's very similar to like an oatmeal or grits or something like that. It's made with boiled water or milk, and it's some sort of wheat or something like that. So it's like cream of wheat or grits or oatmeal or anything like that. It's all very similar.
I can do oatmeal, but there's got to be like no water in it. Like I have to put like the smallest amount of water.
Yeah.
It has to be very thick. And same. Y'all Southerners can get out of here with those grits because y'all are nasty.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I grew up in Miami and, you know, people say that's the South.
Nope.
But I can't handle grits.
Grits are disgusting.
I only like certain types of cream of wheat.
I've never had cream of wheat, I don't think.
I only like certain types, and I'm fine with oatmeal, but I've had some bad oatmeal in my days that I'm like, I cannot eat this oatmeal.
I have to make it, like, it has to be the flavored kind, like Quaker oats, like the pre-flavored.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it has to have, like, almost no water in it because it has to be really thick. Because if it gets too watery, then it's disgusting.
From what I saw the pictures online was, it looked very runny. It didn't look very, like, thick or anything like that.
No, I can't do that.
I'm sure you can do a thicker version of it, but it just didn't, to me, and I get it, we're not British. We weren't raised with that food and stuff, but it just didn't look
appetizing. We were raised with all the sugar.
To me.
All the sugar, all the processed everything.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
And like Reese Puffs are my favorite thing in the world.
What are?
Reese Puffs.
Oh, no, I can't. I don't like those.
What? I like anything Reese, so I have Reese or flavored creamer right now. It's delicious. Everyone should get it.
I can do peanut butter and jelly, and that's it. I can do a peanut butter or an apple, too.
We are going to get so far into what we could be eating, and we just ate, so we shouldn't do this.
We did just have Panda Express right before this. So yeah, so then they go into potions class, and you know, for this chapter being called Potions Master, it didn't
go nearly into what it should have for being called the Potions Master.
It was actually a really short chapter from a listening standpoint. It was about 20 minutes.
It's a lot shorter than I think any chapter we've listened to so far.
I can agree with that. Like, so this chapter,
like, all of a sudden I was like, wow, it's over already. I barely. I just started listening, I feel like. I usually get myself prepared to about 40 minutes of listening.
Yeah, and this was definitely one of the shorter ones so far. You know, all it really did was it showed that Hermione was prepared because she was the only one ready to answer the questions. It showed that Snape is a dick, and we know why much later.
But at this point, it's not clear as to why, so we just think that he's a terrible
person. I had sent you, do you remember, I had sent you a text. It was something I had talked to somebody about. And they had just finished the Harry Potter series, and I asked them their opinion on it. And they said that the reasoning that was given for Snape being such an ass was not enough to negate him. Yeah, to justify him being an ass. Do you agree with that?
I do, because he's being an ass to an 11-year-old.
Exactly.
Who literally has no idea. I would understand, like, this isn't something personal at this point. This is something that you are just digging because his family, who he literally doesn't remember, like, you're going too far. You went too far. And I do understand that, like, he comes around to, like, be a decent person, but he wasn't a decent person.
For a long time.
And he was still a complete jerk, and he did everything that he did for Harry with a grudge still. Even towards the end, it was still with, like, grudgingly, like, the lessons he ended up teaching him, he did because Dumbledore said he had to, pretty much.
Yeah. I agree with that statement that it was never, that this person said that it was never justified. I agree 100%.
On the other hand, I need to ask my friend Nick, who may at this point be listening. Hey, I might have gotten two listeners now because he did ask me about it. He said that Snape's storyline is his favorite, so maybe I need to ask his opinion on why.
Maybe he should come on to the podcast.
He's got a lot going on in his life, but I could ask him if he wants to one day. When we get to that part.
We can adjust time.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a we can do a bonus episode with him, you know?
Yeah. But he said that that's his favorite storyline in the, so maybe he has a different view on it, and I would love to ask him.
Talk to him, see if he wants to come on, and we can do another episode. Mm-hmm. A bonus.
He lives
episode
in Gainesville, though.
That's fine. He can do a call in.
All right.
We'll figure out how that works.
He's super smart ass like us. You would like him.
Oh, nice. You know, but Snape keeps asking these questions, knowing that Harry doesn't know the answer. See, by like the third question he asked.
And this is where this is my whole thing. Like, he is being such a dick to him during this class, and this child has no idea why. Not a single clue. He's just like, I'm literally an 11-year-old. I don't know this guy, and he's just being a jerk to me.
Well, if it was me, okay, and
I would be the biggest bitch.
Oh no, I would look him dead in the eye and be like, I don't know. Isn't it your job to teach us? Why don't you get to work? I don't care how many points from Gryffindor he was going to take from me, because that's exactly how I would have been.
I would have done the same thing.
And then moving on from that.
I'm also, like, everyone's going to be like, oh, you should have authority. Like, you know, he's an authority. That's why he didn't do it. There is a way that you need to respect children to expect them to respect you.
Well, here's my other thing about
talking about like that to all kids, honestly, that you deserve what you get.
Well, here's my other thing about all of this. Like, so they're in potions class, right? And Neville makes makes his potion that literally is burning holes in the kid's shoes and giving him welts and boils from it. Like, why are you teaching that on day one?
Also, why are you yelling at him for that? It was clearly a mistake. It's his first day of potions, and he pretty much ripped him a new one and called him stupid and told him that
it's
day one.
I didn't take chemistry, okay? But I'm going to presume that in chemistry you weren't...
I took chemistry and it was terrible. Okay.
So in day one, were you working with like sulfuric acid and stuff in the first day?
No, do you want to know what chemistry was in my school? Chemistry was a lot of really confusing math with letters, and it was not... It was not anything that I was excited for chemistry because I expected it to be kind of like this, like, you know, actual
school, yeah. Like what you see on TV.
What you see on TV, and like, honestly, I was already reading Harry Potter by then, so I was expecting Harry Potter in the human world, and they gave me math, and I am terrible at math, so
have
I was
seen
not
the
happy.
Episode of American Dad where I think we talked about this on another subject where he where Roger the alien sends Steve the little boy to Hogwarts.
I don't think I've seen that episode.
I'm gonna show you this one scene right when we get off of here. If any of you have not seen it, please look at it. It's so funny. But you know, and then here comes Snape. You know, just a quick flick of his wand, and it all goes away, and then he has to send Neville to the hospital.
Another reason why I thought it was gonna be like Harry Potter, because in either the books or the movies, I think the movies. They say, go play with your chemistry set. And I was like, oh my God, yeah. Chemistry is going to be the best class ever, because it was not. It was terrible. I failed terribly and had to go to summer school. And I'm not the kind of person who fails things and goes to summer school. So it was terrible.
While they're at breakfast, they make plans to go visit Hagrid and have tea in his little hut, which if you told anyone nowadays.
Oh my God, no.
Year-olds are having tea with who knows how old he is, 40, 60-year-old person?
Nope. You'd be in jail faster than you could. Even if you weren't doing anything wrong, you would still be in jail. Yep. Just because, dear God. We work in an industry where that is such a touchy subject right now. You can't do it.
That's a little question. I mean, obviously it's not done.
Yeah,
in malice,
obviously nothing is happening. We know that nothing is happening. But from the outside perspective, especially just like the world that we are in right now, it's such a touchy subject, and that's not a cool thing. So just keep yourself as far away from it as possible is my advice.
He gives the kids rock cakes. I don't like rock candy. So
what is rock cakes?
I don't know.
I don't like rock candy either.
I don't like rock candy, so I don't think I would like a rock cake. That just sounds terrible. I hope it's good.
It honestly sounds like it's going to break your teeth, and they say it pretty much breaks your teeth. So what about a rock cake? I also like all of my desserts very soft and moist and delicious, not rocky at all. And I don't like the edge of brownies. They're disgusting.
Oh, no. I hate brownie edges. Well, and you know, and then so they talk about the vault later on in that chapter being broken into, and Harry knows that, you know, they were at that vault and everything like that. And why, of course, does his mind automatically think it was Snape? Like, he doesn't know Snape's a bad guy. Like, that's the
thing. This is his programming from the beginning, is to blame everything on Snape and Draco.
Yeah, but, like, he doesn't know, like, where in his mind, like, at what point did he get a single context clue that says Snape could have done this? Snape works at the school. He's a teacher. So, obviously, Dumbledore trusts him. Why would he think that he would do that? It could have been anybody. Legitimately, out of the millions of people that are in the wizarding world, it could have been any one of them. And he's automatically like, in his tiny little world that he knows.
Just happens to know the person who's doing it in his mind right away. Which, honestly, my thought about this entire thing was, it shows a lot about how his mind works, because he brings up how, you know, tea with Hagrid gives him more to think about than anything at school has. What, people are teaching you magic spells and you're worried about who robbed a bank in the world? Honestly, if someone told me that someone robbed the PNC down the street, I'd be like, all right, cool. And then I'd probably never think about it again.
No, exactly.
He's trying to figure out a freaking true crime. To fix
that. Like, he's sitting here trying to become like a freaking sleuth right away. And he's like, I know who did it. It was Snape.
But, like, it just shows how his mind thinks, and his mind continuously thinks like this through the entire series. He feels like he needs to solve every mystery possible.
It's like, I know 150 people in this world currently.
I know who robbed this bank. I know
it. Exactly, because I can narrow it down, because 75 of them are children, and they could have done it. You know what I mean? It's just so asinine to think that way this early. Like, if this would have happened, like, here's my issue with this one thing. If they would have released this statement, right, like, 4 chapters from now, mm-hmm, I would have been okay with it. Like,
built, yeah, but at Snape this up, point, he doesn't know anything about him other than that he's a mean teacher.
Yeah, built Snape up, make him say some things about the vault that he shouldn't have heard. Something. Not like, if they would have done it at Christmas, right? If he's, like, when he's, like, looking around the castle at Christmas time.
Yeah.
And he would have heard something about the vault. That would have been a much better, you know, segue into that.
This would be like if you got detention in grade school on your first week.
And assume that teacher was Hitler.
And yeah, literally, like, someone got murdered down the street and you were like, oh, it's that teacher, definitely.
He gave me detention.
He gave me detention. I know that he murdered that guy.
Had to have been. That's just the way it
that's the only person in the world that could have murdered someone. That's literally how that sounds.
It's just so, I mean, it was just, I think it, I.
They jumped into his hatred for Snape so quickly. And just, like, the bias he has just because Snape's mean to him. He doesn't know anything about Snape right now, so there's no reason for him to assume that. And that was, yeah, that's definitely not.
I agree. Well, you know, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up there. This is a short chapter, so it ended up being a shorter episode. Our episodes, we try to keep them at around 30 minutes to 45 minutes. You know, this is right around that 40-minute mark, I would say. You know, we really appreciate all the listening that we have, whether you've listened from the beginning, or if you've been, you know, tuning in recently or anything like that. If you're someone who I handed out a card to at LeakyCon, you know, thank you so much for tuning in. If your friends shared it with you, thank you so much. If you'd listened to it more times, if you've listened to it more than once, I know I try to listen to each episode at least once after we publish them, not for the listens, but just so I can hear, you know, what we're doing and try to make it better.
I've listened to one episode. Good job, Tom.
Oh, you listened to the Tom episode?
Yes.
It was good, right?
I won't listen to myself, but Tom, do a good job, Tom. I can't wait until we do a phone episode with him. I just think more opinions while we're doing these is going to bring it more, make it more interesting, because we're going to find more opinions and have more to talk about.
I definitely am trying to see when we can get Jordan and Tom back on again. I have to go out to...
And now we'll see if Nick wants to join us.
Yeah. His is going to be a little different, where, like, Jordan and Tom do audio production like I do. Mm-hmm. So they have all the equipment in their studio. So theirs going to be really nice and clean and clear.
And Nick will probably...
Nick will be on the phone.
Yeah. So understandable.
He'll have a Snipe call and we'll record his audio separate and everything like that. Or like a Google Voice call or something. It's not a big deal. It definitely will be... a little bit less, but it would be, like I said, that would be a bonus episode, and that would be something that's just to hear Snape's storyline and everything that, you know, from his perspective. But we appreciate every single person who's listening. We're getting much better numbers than we thought we were going to this early. I really didn't think we would even break like 2 listeners in our first year. So I'm very happy that, you know, we have anyone listening to us. And again, please reach out to us on Facebook with any, you know, questions, comments, or concerns about what we're saying, or, you know, voice your opinion, because we definitely want more opinions. We want this to be a conversation between us and you all, the 15, 20 of you that are listening. We definitely want those opinions to be spoken.
The more that you write in and talk about, the more that we're going to have to talk about, and the more opinions that we're going to have to go off of, it's going to get more interesting.
I mean, if this podcast could become, like, instead of a 45-minute or 40-minute podcast, it can become, like, an hour and a half for each chapter because of all the different opinions that we have, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, and that personally would be fine, because the more theories and opinions that we get, it's going to be more interesting.
Yeah.
Just like we just talked about, my friend has a different opinion than what we have, so now we want to get his opinion on it and bring him on so that we can see where maybe we're not thinking along the same lines.
That's our biggest thing. We want this to be a conversation, not just between us, but between as many people as we can have give their opinion on it. But with that being said, we thank you so much for being a listener. We thank you so much for being part of this. And we cannot wait to hear the next, you know, from you all, and do our next chapter. And with that, good night.